When you do a podcast, you've got to have a song where someone sings the title. What could go wrong? What could go wrong? The world is kind of scary when things don't go the right way. So listen to this podcast and it will probably be okay. Probably no guarantees.
Wait, no, you didn't click twice because then it'll stop.
Oh, I didn't click twice. I clicked okay. Once. I'm recording everyone... this right now.
All right, come on. We're already 30 seconds in. You're going to screw up my timing.
This is amazing. Shaven, a haircut.
Two bits. Hello, and welcome to What Could Go Wrong. Like our intro, the best / worst thing that could ever happen to Warriors. I'm Jeff from Happy Valley. I'm joined by Chrissy, veteran, escapee, survivor of Murderville, Idaho.
Oh, hey, guys.
Also, here's Jeremiah, who clawed his way out of his hometown, the Coffin, California.
Hello.
No matter how bad you think things are, these two think they could get worse. So I thought we'd start off with a fun topic, which I'm fairly certain nothing can go wrong with. I've coined it magical times because they feel magical at times. Like, you know, the weekend. Nothing can go wrong with the weekend. I'm not at work. It's wonderful.
Okay, wait. So are we talking about, like, the weekend, the time, or, like, the weekend, the singer? Because I saw this video with him, and he totally caught on fire.
No, and like the seems... weekend what? When you're not at work.
Okay, because that seems like something that could just...
Like maybe even the concept of having weekends.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it doesn't have to be like a specific Saturday, Sunday.
Correct. These are your days off that you get to relax and just enjoy yourself.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying for me there.
Well, the existence of the weekend as a non-working time means that instead of just working for survival, people will pursue hobbies and interests mm-hmm. that might lead them to
having fun.
No, not to having fun, to be competing with their neighbors in order to have the biggest things and the nicest things. So then they have to go back to work on Monday and they're always dreading the return to work in the monetary world and that specter of capitalism and conspicuous consumptionism and planned obsolescence never really leaves them for peace.
Yeah, I have actually thought about this, and I feel like weekends are actually really a big detriment to our lives, because the concept of saying, like, you have to work X amount of days a week in order to get this time off, like, that allows this entire machine that we have going to say that we shouldn't have lives except during this one tiny little piece of the week, and during the rest of the week we should just be corporate drones.
But, like, I mean, it was originally says 7 days of work. You didn't get days off.
Right. But, like, the whole concept of a weekend, really. Like, shouldn't there just be, like, happy fun times whenever? Like, I feel like working today, and it's a Saturday. That should be fine. And then maybe I don't have to work on Tuesday, because that just feels like a day I don't want to work. Like, I don't know. I feel like weekends can be a little evil. And, like, there's maybe don't give us, yeah, they don't give us, like, very much actual say in our own lives. Like, somebody's like, this is when you get your time off. And that just, I don't like that kind of oppression.
All right. Let's move on to the next section, then. Paid holidays, which are pretty magical.
More with this oppression?
Yeah. Why?
To celebrate?
Why should the government be telling me what is holy?
Well, and I think about this, right? Because I always feel really crappy every Christmas, because I'm like, okay, I get Christmas off, which is great for me of, you know, a Christian descent. But, like, all of my friends who are, you know, Jewish or, you know, celebrate other holidays, they don't get their holidays off. Like, there's no off for solstice for my friends who really celebrate solstice.
Rosh Hashanah.
It's just really unfair, and it makes me feel like a pretty crappy person, because, like, I get to enjoy this privilege that people don't get to enjoy just because the government's like, nope, we only recognize these holidays, guys. Too bad. It's unfortunate.
It's the worst.
8 days off for Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Well, I mean, that kind of leads into taking your own personal choice of when you want to do something fun like paid vacation, which I think most professional operations offer? I don't know how much. It's sliding scale.
Yeah, this, if it not to harp on capitalism too much, but I think as we... Cool. It's only the worst thing ever. What could go wrong? Capitalism. With paid vacation, we're going to have a class-based system where there's the people who go on vacation because they have an old-school establishment job that might have paid vacation, and in the course of their time off and leisure time, they are interacting with a large number of people who are in the new gig economy who don't have established benefits or vacation or time off, things like that. So you've got the Uber driver at the airport who doesn't have vacation. You've got the Airbnb that you're renting that might be cleaned by people that don't have vacation because they're using a startup cleaning company. And then you go to a restaurant that doesn't have paid vacation because the servers are all at-will employees. And you go to a beach and the lifeguards are probably volunteer kids who aren't getting paid and also don't get vacation.
Yeah, it points out the inequity in our society. And, I mean, beyond the fact that when you go on vacation, you tend to do really stupid things because you're in vacation mode and your brain's like, woo, I can do whatever I want. And so, you know, like, you're like, I'm going to go jump off this bridge on this bungee cord and, you know, it's going to snap and I'm going to die. Like, there's just all kinds of really bad choices you can make on top of the fact that that vacation is pointing out the inequities that we have in this world and in our society that are all based around this, you know, idea of the paid vacation. That said, I'm totally cool with having paid vacation, so if my boss is listening, I like my paid vacation.
You're totally okay cool as long inequity. As you're on that one side of the inequity?
Yeah, isn't we that got how ours. Goes? Isn't that how it goes, Jeff?
The picture you're painting does make that fairly stark. All right, let's move on to something that I'm hoping has a little... Well, I don't know, you'll probably find inequity in it as well, but... just going to the movies with friends. I know I find that to be a very pleasurable experience. Boy.
No. Nope, nope. Yeah. Do not like theaters.
Why is that?
Fires.
They're just really dangerous. And beyond being dangerous, you know, there's only so many escape routes. And there's a lot of people in there. And I just don't like interacting with people very much. And although I do really like my friends, I would rather, you know, not... watch, like, if I'm gonna watch a movie with my friends, I would rather watch it at home, because like when you watch a movie at a theater with your friends, like, exactly. You want to be like, oh man, did you see what just happened, but you can't because it pisses off the people around you, and then you get like punched in the face by the person sitting behind you.
You just save that up for later so you can talk about it excitedly once you get out of the movie.
But you like forget all the stuff and you're like, oh, there's that thing that I wanted to point out to you because I knew it would be like this thing, but I can't remember what it was now, so I guess we can't have that conversation. And based on that lack of conversation, I don't know, maybe that friendship dies away a little because it was needing a little bit of a boost from something that you guys could come together on. And that boost doesn't exist anymore.
But it should just encourage you to go after the movie to get together again to talk about it and how enjoyable it was.
Or you can rent it after it comes out or buy it. And then you can watch it at home while eating popcorn and like dinner around a coffee table and like chatting, and it's not such a closed off experience.
It's not the if same as you have on the big screen.
A TV and, also, and a couch and a coffee table and popcorn and a home.
And you don't have to, but you don't have to leave your It is nice to have a home that you don't have.
What
to
if
leave.
You don't have all those things? So the movie theater is your home that you're using at that time.
That sounds miserable.
Yeah.
Man, that's really sad, Jeff.
All the popcorn you can eat.
That's not healthy.
You get popcorn lung like that.
Yeah, popcorn that's... lung? Is that, that how it works?
Popcorn lung is a real thing. But that's the thing, it's mainly microwave popcorn. So I will rescind my popcorn lung being a thing that can go wrong with living in a theater.
Here's the thing, is wherever there's popcorn, there's butter. Mm-hmm. And you can, like, butter is slippery. And you get a little bit of that on those, on, like, the tile floors that line around the theater carpet. You slip and you break your head open, or you, like, break your knee. And I'm assuming if you're living in a theater, insurance is probably not great. And since we don't live in Canada, like, just screwed. Yes, no getting that fixed.
Yeah, you don't want to get Butterfoot.
No. No Butterfoot and no popcorn lung.
All right, let's close with the fun magical times, Narnia. I know I always wanted to visit as a child. Maybe okay. I did, but I forgot it all.
I was legit scared that I was going to end up in Narnia as a child.
I went into every closet I could find.
So I tried to not end up in Narnia. Like, I was scared of certain closets because I was, they just seemed a little too magical, I guess.
You had to look for the right wardrobe.
They, like, went too far back. And I was really scared that I was going to get, like, lost and go to Narnia and end up in this place. Like, I think we've discussed that I am not a survival person. I am, right. like, I am the You're joining the zombies. Ruler. Supreme ruler or joining the zombies in the zombie apocalypse. Like, that's who I am. I'm not the mm-hmm. kind of person who wants a bow and arrow and has to, like, go fight magical creatures and somehow teach myself to survive in a new place. And this was a legitimate fear of mine when I was a child. I
could have given you the magical potion of heal all.
That would have been a little better. But, childhood memories of just being like, man, I can't go in that closet because it goes back really far. And what if I end up in the woods somewhere? And I don't know. I'm really scared of animals anyways. And if they started talking at me, I just don't think that would go down very well.
Yeah, an excellent current representation of the things that can go wrong in a Narnia-like setting is the Magician's Trilogy by Lev Grossman, which explores many of the concepts of a magical land or magical times presented in the Narnia books or other childhood fantasy escapism when presented in a world that has rules and adult concerns and stuff like that, so... check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Endorsed by Jeremiah. Can't go wrong there.
It's true.
All right, Chrissy and Jeremiah, please give your audience your fond farewells. We are out of time.
Good night, guys. I hope you don't get sucked into Narnia in your sleep.
I hope you do.
But if you do go to Narnia, hopefully you'll have a Mr. Tumnus type person who's actually a nice person and not secretly working for the Winter Queen who finds you there and makes it the best day of your life.
And come back and get me. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.